Psalm 51. The verse that goes along with our lesson today is Psalm 51:14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. My tongue shall sing. After David's sin with Bathsheba, and then the murder of Uriah, I can't help but think that David had lost his song. I mean, after committing such wickedness, how would you ever have a song in the Lord? And really, after committing something like that, you'd wonder, could I ever have that song again? And the wonderful thing about the Lord is, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, at the point that we look at ourselves and realize that we've sinned, and we confess that as sin and ask for forgiveness, the Lord will forgive it. He'll forgive it. Let's run through our questions. Get out your questions, if you would. I think I forgot to go through the ones from last week. Sorry about that. Continue to work on them. Psalm 51:14. What did David pray for God to deliver him from? Ma'am? Blood guiltiness. Excellent. Excellent. And that was because of the death of Uriah the Hittite. Okay. 1 John 1:9 teaches us that if we confess our sins, God will not only forgive us, but will also do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Excellent. What title did David use to address the Lord in Psalm 51:14? Ma'am? God, the God of my salvation. Amen. According to Romans 8:1, when we are in Christ Jesus, we no longer have condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Psalm 51:14, David specifically said that he would sing about what? End of the verse. His righteousness. Excellent. And then the last one. Psalm 51:15. In what way does sin silence the believer? Kelly. Say it again. In what way does sin silence the believer? Oh, it silences his praise. Okay. Okay, that which he is saying. Thank you. Yes, that's right. It takes away our song. It takes away that praise. It takes away what our blessing back to the Lord and of the Lord, of the Lord's goodness. Very good. I like these Sunday school lessons. They work very well. Go through that stuff. We read it. We think about it. We got to think, oh, what's the answer? What's he looking for here? And all that is reinforcing that and building it into our lives that the Lord may use it for his glory. God's cleansing takes care of our guilt. Only God can forgive sin and miraculously cleanse us of our guilt. We need our sins forgiven, but we need also our guilt removed. We do not want to live under a terrible load of guilt. We do not want to live under the terrible consuming weight and the reminders of our lives. God is able to restore us and to cause us to sing of him once again. Lesson aims, the aims of the lesson today, to learn that God not only forgives our sin, but also removes the guilt. He removes the guilt. He'll remove the guilt. We have to let it go also. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us, and then we have to also let it go ourselves. And then to understand that salvation is more than a past experience, it is salvation from the power of sin in this present time. And in your lesson, okay, what? Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the lesson. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful for these lessons. Lord, what a blessing they've been to us. As we've read your word and memorized your word and studied your word. Lord, what a blessed truth that we can have peace and joy in spite of sin in the past. That if we just recognize our sin, call it what you call it, sin, and then ask for forgiveness, it can be taken care of. Lord, we pray for our pastor right now. We pray for his physical well-being. Lord, coming through this pneumonia, we pray for healing. Pray for power. Lord, this morning in both churches with the different teachers, through your Holy Spirit, through God's word, Lord, might we be a blessing to others. Might we reach in others' lives and make a difference. Lord, we're thankful for your word, your spirit that continually strives with us to make us more what we ought to be. Lord, pray that we would glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Singing is a vital part of a Christian's life. Forgiven sinners have a song to sing. I love singing. None of you have ever had the displeasure of being around my singing, but I love to sing. I'll sing in heaven, and then nobody will, up there, nobody will care. I'm not sure why. I think maybe it's because the Lord looks at our heart when we sing. But I love to sing. What do we sing about? We sing about the Lord's righteousness. We sing about the Lord's goodness. What makes us sing? Something happens and the Lord blesses us, or we prayed and God answers a prayer, and it's a song that naturally comes out from our mouths, from our hearts. David had something to sing about in spite of all he had done when he fell before God in humbleness. When he recognized his sin, when he called it sin, as God calls it, God forgave him. We can learn much about people's lives by the songs that they sing. You can tell where they are by the songs that they sing. You can hear it in people's voices. We can hear it in the songs they sing. Christians, the songs that we sing are very important. It's very important that when you and I sing, that we sing things that honor the Lord, that honor the Lord. There's much music out in the world today. None of that music needs to be in the Christian life. None of that music does. The music is praise to God. That's what it needs to be. We can learn a great deal about people's lives by whether or not they sing. Are people happy in the Lord? Are people happy? You know, it's not how much we have that brings happiness, Spurgeon said. It's not how much we have. But what is it? It's what we're thankful for. It's what we're thankful for. I love Spurgeon. I love his quotes. I love reading his works. But it's not how much we have that brings happiness. It's how much we're thankful for. How much we're thankful for. Are you singing? What is your song? David said in Psalm 51:14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." I'm sure it wasn't easy for David after he had gone into sin, and it just kept getting worse and worse for him. I'm sure it wasn't easy, and it's not easy. It's not easy to turn when we're going down a path we shouldn't be going down. It's not easy to turn. It's hard. The Lord is right there, though. Always, 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 the Lord is right there for when we turn. When we repent of our sins, he's always right there. David desired to sing again. He said in verse 15, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." David had been known in the past for his singing unto the Lord. Now David said, "Lord, I have done this terrible thing, and I want to sing again. I want the joy back. I want to praise you again. When we come back to God, He restores our song, and He gives us something to sing about. He gives us something to sing about. The Lord will restore that. Satan will come by and continue to accuse, because he's the accuser, isn't he? He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll come by and he'll accuse, but God will forgive our sins when we pray, when we confess our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us. He'll forgive us. Who won't forgive us? We won't forgive ourselves sometimes, will we? Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to forgive others. Sometimes we see other people sin and do things they ought not to do, and we think, Lord, how can that guy do that? And we tend not to be patient with other people as the Lord works in their heart. God is a loving, forgiving God. Page 46 in your lessons, His sin. Psalm 51, 14 and 15. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Verse 14, David refers to his terrible sin as blood guiltiness. Why? Because he had killed a man. He had killed Uriah. He had given the order that Uriah be put to death. He was speaking not of the sin of adultery with Bathsheba when he talked about the blood guiltiness, but a sin of murder. Just as surely as if David himself had stood on the wall and shot the arrow that pierced Uriah. When he gave the order to have that man killed, it was him doing it. David killed Uriah. It was David's sin. He then prayed, deliver me from blood guiltiness. He's talking about the guilt that he bore in his heart. The one thing that can be hard for us as Christians to do is when sin is repented of, is to let the Lord have it and let it be done. We tend to carry that guilt for days and days and weeks. Even though the Lord isn't carrying it, even though it's gone, even though Christ has put it behind his back, even though it's gone, yet we'll still think of it. Or somebody else will remember it and they'll remind us. The Lord doesn't do that, does he? Praise the Lord. He'll forgive us. If we recognize our sin and repent of it, he'll forgive us. And he won't ever bring it up again. There's a book, and you open it up, and Chris Ravert's name is there. And you know what's in that book? Christ's righteousness. That's what's in the book. Does that make you happy? Your name's in a book, and what's there? Your evil works? No. Christ's righteousness. That's what's there. Man, what a blessing. The guilt is gone. Sin is covered. Sin is taken care of. What a blessing. Turn to me to 1 John, if you would. 1 John 1:7. Seven, eight, and nine, actually. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no unrighteousness in the book. There's none. It's just Christ's righteousness. That's what's on my page. Confession means agreeing with God. God is, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess him, he is faithful and just to forgive them. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The forgiveness and the cleansing. We've got to let sin go. When we confess it to God and repent of it, we've got to let it go. Christ does. God's cleansing takes care of our guilt. Only God can forgive sin and miraculously cleanse us of our guilt. We need our load of guilt removed so that we can have liberty and freedom in Christ. We've often heard pastor pray, and or at the end of service, he'll say, do you need to come to this altar? And when we come to this altar, we put things at this altar, don't we? We put our sins here, we put our cares here, we put our failures here. And then when we get up from the altar, do we bring them back with us? No. We leave them right there. We leave them at the foot of the cross. We don't go back up later and pick them back up. We leave them there. That's what Christ has done. He's put them away. And yet our tendency can be, or the tendency of people around us, can be to say something again about those things that have been put away. His salvation. First we saw his sin, David's sin, now the salvation. Our salvation is much more than we ever imagined. Most of the time when Christians speak of salvation, they speak about a one-time event in the past. David said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. David was not only dealing with an experience in the past when he trusted the Lord as his Savior, he was dealing with what his salvation could do in the present. What would his salvation do for him right now? Right now it would deliver him. It would sanctify him. It would set him apart from sin unto God. On Calvary, a great exchange was made. What a blessing. Our penalty for sin was paid. No longer are we under the condemnation of sin. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. That's a good verse. That'd be a good verse to memorize. I've probably said it enough, you probably actually already know it. I think I've said that verse from here enough, that you've probably heard it enough and you probably already know it. What an excellent verse. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. The accuser will say there is. Others that won't let our sin go might say that there is. But there is none. What a blessing. Taken care of on the cross. My sin, your sin, for eternity. What a blessing. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. Our salvation is here we're looking at it as threefold. Initially, we're saved from the penalty of sin. When you and I are saved, the Bible says that we are seated in the heavenlies. It's a done deal when we're saved. We don't have to wait to see how we live and wait to see how we do the rest of our lives. We are already there. We are justified. We're justified. We've been made right with God. The penalty of sin is gone. It is gone. Secondly, in the present, our salvation, we see our sanctification, being set apart from the world unto God. In the present, our salvation is what? Is to deliver us from the power of sin in our lives each day. In the past, at salvation, we were saved from the penalty of sin. each day in our lives, our salvation working, or our sanctification working, gives us victory over the power of sin in our lives. And then ultimately, it's from the presence of sin, which is glorification. Ultimately, it's from the presence of sin. That'll be a blessing when sin is nowhere around anymore. The Lord is good. The Lord loves us. Our salvation is not just something that happened to Chris when he was 16 years old at Alva Baptist Church as I knelt at that altar. It wasn't just a one-time event. It is daily in my life. It is for eternity. Each day, each week, as we go through our lives, the sanctification of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has given us, is setting us apart from sin, giving us victory over the power of sin in our lives. We can have victory over the power of sin in our lives. We can have that victory. David found that out. Way back to God. It wasn't only for David. It's for everybody that reads this account and understands that there is a way back to God. There is a way that our sin can be forgiven. God can actually give us the power by His Holy Spirit not to yield to sin. When David referred to my salvation, he was referring to all the blessed things that knowing Christ as Savior brings. His sin, we looked at David's sin, his salvation, and now his song. As Christians, our sin silences us. It'll stop us from witnessing to people. It'll stop us from telling people about the Lord, sharing the goodness of the Lord with others. It'll stop us from that. Why? We're embarrassed. There's many reasons. One reason we're embarrassed. Man, I'm not walking with the Lord. How can I do this or how can I do that? Sin will silence us. It'll take our song away. It'll take that light out of our eye. It'll take that away. It'll take it away. But we've got to just simply, when we realize it's there, maybe a Christian brother comes up. Maybe Kelly Dye would come up to me and say, "Brother Raver, what's going on, brother? You look like you're going through it." You know? And we are to bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ, aren't we? And we can tell when a Christian brother is down, is whatever. We can be a blessing to each other. We can help each other get right with the Lord, and then have that song back. Dave, you talk about a guy that's singing. David was a musical guy. He was a musical guy. He could save people's lives with his instrument in the presence of the king. Just get that king calm back down, settle down, and David would play before the king. Music is a wonderful thing in our lives. And the Lord gives us that joy. He'll give us that song. "My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Let our tongues praise the Lord. Let our tongues sing his praises. If we can't hit the notes, don't worry about it, because the Lord's not listening to the notes. He's looking at the heart. He looks at our heart. Now in church, other people, they might listen to our notes. I was at a family Christmas gathering one time. We're singing Christmas carols. We're playing along, I'm having a good time, and somebody says, "Somebody's singing off key." And I thought, yeah, no kidding. Doing the best I can. What do you want? You know, somebody's singing off key. I always sing off key. But the Lord will give us a song. We can have that song. In spite of sin, we can have that song if the sin is repented of. The Lord will give us that song. David was probably thinking, "When I came to know the Lord as my Savior, God traded his righteousness for my sin." What a swap. What a swap. What a trade. His righteousness for my sin. We got everything, and it might look like he got nothing, but we love him. And that's what he was going for. That's what he was going for. What a trade. Trading. I'd like to take Monopoly money and trade it with Kelly Dye for real money. Would you do that with me? You would. What a trade that'd be, wouldn't it? But what a swap. The Lord took our sin on himself. Was it a light thing? He's on that cross. It was darkness. He was alone. Christ was alone on the cross. Who was not with him? Who wasn't with him? God the Father. Why? Because of sin. He was alone. And he paid for our sin. He gave us righteousness. He took our sin and gave us righteousness. That'll make even a Baptist stand up and shout and sing. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He died for my sin. He became sin for me. He took my sin on himself. And he gave me his righteousness. He gave me his righteousness. What a blessing. We serve a great God. We can have a song in our hearts in spite of sin that may come into our lives. If we recognize our sin, confess it as sin, the Lord will give us that song. The Lord will. He returned that song to David. With David, there was a way back to God. For you and I, there's a way back to God. We can have victory over sin each day, taking a few moments and looking into God's Word. Maybe a verse, a memory verse. It's on your mind as you fall asleep. It's on your mind when you wake up. The Lord is good. He wants to give you a song. He wants your heart to be right with him. He's made a way. The only thing that would stop it is if you and I did not turn to him. Thank you for coming. Again, in 2 weeks, we'll start our new Life of Joseph. Verse 18 is assigned. Verse 18, we got two verses left. And then we'll have the whole psalm memorized. I hope you're following up on that. I know at least a couple of people are like through verse 14. So continue to work on it. The Lord will use his word in your life, and he'll use it in the lives of those around you. Thank you for coming.